This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station. Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelter.
Mariners Seahawks getting set to take on the Atlanta Falcons this Sunday. And we get a chance to speak to a member of the defense who joins us right out of the chute on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Cornerback Kobe Bryant is with us. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. We had a chance to talk to you during training camp and just, you know, how that your first training camp was going and everything's new. Now you got a couple games under your belt. Is it what you thought it would be? Has it lived up to what your image of it would be?
Most definitely, you know, but like I always say, the biggest thing is, you know, continuously growing and, you know, stacking days on top of days and getting better each week. So,
hey, Kobe, what have been, now that you've been out there and you've played it in a game, what have been the challenges or what have you learned about playing nickel as opposed to playing that outside cornerback spot?
You know, a nickel is a lot. You know, it's actually a challenging position, but it's also fun. You know, you're always around the football. But the biggest thing is, you know, even with outside, you have to have short-term memory, you know, whether if you give up a play or whatever it may be, you know, short-term memory. And, you know, now that you're, you know, a part of the defense, you know, you're all working together with everyone. So that's the biggest thing is, you know, keeping your poise and taking next play at a time. So
is the speed of the game what we hear from it? It seems like every rookie says the biggest difference is the speed and the you have to be so precise in your footwork, the way you college, you can get by in your athleticism at the pro level. You've got to be absolutely precise. Is that how you found it?
Definitely. You know, it's the little things that count and matter. You know, one wrong step could, you know, cause a big play. So, you know, you have to be on your A game each play. But ultimately, you know, you have to play the game and be yourself. So,
hey, Kobe, we don't always get a chance to catch up with the assistants. And Carl Scott, everyone raved about him when he got here. What have you learned from him? How has it been working with a guy like that?
He's extremely, extremely smart. You know, obviously coaches have to be smart and know the game, but he's extremely intelligent. And, you know, just with me being here for, you know, a couple months, he's taught me a lot. You know, him, Coach Desai, and as well as Coach Hurt as well, too. So I've learned a lot, you know, with those three guys. So,
hey, as far as last week goes, how much does that throw you off as a member of the defense? You're spending all week game planning for Trey Lance and what he does. He gets knocked out early. Here comes Jimmy G, who's polar opposite. How much of an adjustment was that for you?
It was a pretty big, you know, adjustment because I never played against either of those guys, obviously, you know, so I never played against, you know, him. So it was completely different for me. But, you know, once I started to get the insights from Coach Carroll and, you know, Coach Scott and everything is telling me, you know, who he was, you know, the game started to slow down for me.
Are you getting used to kind of the routine of a game week? You know, this is when you watch film, this is when you practice and go through walkthroughs. Is that similar to college or is it more focused, but now you have some more time to devote to it?
Absolutely. You know, now that I have more time, you know, it's just giving me more time to take care of my body, you know, watch more film and, you know, just do the little things to get better. So definitely more time is the best. So.
What is it? Tell the Truth Monday. What's that been like for you? I'm certain your position coaches and everybody, they isolate the good, the bad, the ugly. What's that process been like?
I enjoy it. You know, we all want to hear what we do well, but we need to hear what, you know, the things that we can improve on. You know, that's what makes us, you know, better and, you know, and improving, not just in football, but our character as well, too. So, you know, just hearing that on Monday is the better thing. And then, you know, moving on to the next week.
What have you learned from some of the veterans out there, especially back towards where you're playing and a guy like Quandre Diggs and Jamal before he got hurt? But what did they teach you or what have you learned from just watching how they go about their business?
Just the biggest thing, like what I keep saying is, you know, just keep growing, you know, and you know, actually Quandre just told me yesterday, you know, just continuously be myself, you know, myself is good enough. And, you know, like I said, just have a routine for whether if it's treatment for your body or, you know, watching film or whatever the case may be, and just do the little things and, you know, the rest will take care of itself.
How much do you, after a game like that, I would imagine you're anxious to get back into it and can't wait to just sort of wash that one away. How's the week gone? And do you feel that anxiousness? Like, man, I can't wait for the Falcons to get here.
Absolutely. You know, I'm like that every week, you know, whether it's a good game, bad game, whatever the case may be, you know, you have to always keep that hunger mentality and most importantly, stay humble and, you know, just keep growing. So,
hey, what have you learned from your brother, Christian, who kind of went through this before? Do you guys still keep in touch regularly about, well, this is what I'm going through? Did you experience
that?
Or how helpful has he been in teaching you what life is like in the NFL?
He's a tremendous help. You know, we talk every day. And, you know, it doesn't even always have to be about football. You know, it's just catching up with me being here and him being in Ohio. You know, that's my best friend. You know, so we talk every day. He's helped me a lot, you know, just telling me the insides, you know, like I said, just pretty much what everyone's saying, you know, take care of my body, watch more film. You know, he's the one who actually told me what my routine should be, you know, each week. And, you know, just doing the things that he didn't get a chance to do while he was in the NFL to help me become a better football player. So, you know, he's been a tremendous help.
Hey, what was week one like for you? I mean, that was about as intense as it gets in that stadium in a regular season game without the playoffs being on the line. But just it's the opening night. It's Monday Night Football. Russell Wilson's coming back. The crowd was going ballistic. What was that like for you as a player?
It was surreal. You know, all camp I've been hearing, you know, how loud Lumen was. You know, I played in a pretty loud stadium, obviously, in college. But, you know, to me, I'm just like, yeah, I'm sure it's loud, but not that loud. But once I got in there, I literally couldn't hear anything, you know, even people standing next to me. So I loved it, though. It gave me chills, man. So I enjoyed every bit of it.
Yeah, I imagine that's such a cool experience. But actually, how difficult was that then to get out there and, like you said, not be able to hear, your fellow teammates out there?
That's the biggest thing, you know, communications, hand signals, or whatever it may be. You know, we all have to make sure we're on the same page. And, you know, it came out the right way, so.
Hey, as far as the season goes, I'm sure you looked at the schedule when it came out, and now you're just zeroed in on the Falcons. But are there are there teams or players that you're like, man, I can't wait. I'm going to be playing against this guy or going up against that guy. Any of those moments you look at on the schedule?
Each week, you know, we're in the NFL, so each week I know I'm going to get the best each week, and that's what I love, you know, me being a competitor. I love that, you know, but I'm also excited to see my guys from, you know, school who are in the NFL and, you know, guys who I grew up as well, you know, so I look forward to playing with those guys. But like I said, each week, you know, I know I'm getting the best, so I look forward to that each week. So
Do you have some former teammates coming up on the schedule?
Yes, I do, and I'm excited about that.
Which week? What team? Outside of the Falcons, you got the Falcons, right? But anybody after that?
Jets, Kansas City, Saints as well.
Okay.
And then, yeah, that's about it.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, so this week when they're in town, your guy Desmond Ritter's there. You trade any text messages or have you talked to him at all? Are you going to go up to him on the field?
Yeah, I talked to him. We actually got a chance to catch up, and I'm definitely gonna, you know, exchange jerseys after the game. But while we're on the field, you know, he's we're gonna be battling. So
he's now the enemy.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
Hey, just last thing for me, just as far as the season goes, and it was sort of a tale of 2 weeks. I mean, it was such a high after the first week, and then last week didn't go the way anybody wanted. Was there any emotional? I mean, the first week, again, so emotional, so intense, and then the second week you're on the road, it's just becomes more of a regular game. Did you feel that difference?
I wouldn't necessarily, I felt the difference, you know, because, like I said, each week counts. You know, it doesn't matter who we're playing, you know, who the opponent is, or, you know, who has on what jersey. You know, at the end of the day, it's about us, you know, about us getting better each week, you know, and taking each week the same. And like I keep saying, you know, just keep growing and keep getting better, learning from our mistakes, and, you know, the rest will take care of itself.
Hey, Kobe, this was a pretty big draft class you came in with. It's not often that the Seahawks have that many picks. So with a big draft class and you guys going through everything from, you know, rookie mini camp to training camp to now the start of the season, did you know any of those guys beforehand? And then have you bonded pretty closely with your fellow rookies?
Yeah, I've known Tariq Woolen from, like, the Senior Bowl Combine. Tyreek Smith, he's from Cleveland, so I've been on him. And then Abe, he was at the Senior Bowl as well. And then, yeah, so we're all pretty close, man. You know, Bo as well. I'm pretty close with Ken Walker as well, too. So, you know, we're all pretty close, and, you know, those are my guys, man.
Well, Kobe, congrats on the way things started for you. Hopefully things continue to go well, and we start chalking up some wins out there, and it starts this weekend with the Atlanta Falcons. Thanks so much for taking time with us.
Thank you.
There you go. There's Kobe Bryant of your Seattle Seahawks, the Atlanta Falcons. So he's got teammates up and down the schedule. That's got to be pretty cool. I wonder if there's smack talk going on.
I know. I can't imagine going through this week. Like Desmond Ritter, a guy who was your leader in college there in Cincinnati, and Kobe Bryant was a key member of that defense. Now Ritter's probably not going to play, but still, if you see a guy like that you're so close with, and now he's on the opposite sideline.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, though. It's got to be a cool thing to see each other at that level.
In Cincinnati.
Like, we made it.
Not the biggest powerhouse. They're a great football team, but they are not Ohio State. They're not Georgia churning out multiple NFL players
Alabama,
every year.
Yeah. All right, good stuff from Kobe Bryant. Our Seahawks Player Spotlight is presented by Mazda of Everett. So coming up, we've got Ken Walker a conversation we actually taped with him the other day. So more Seahawks coming your way. Robbie Ray will join us for Player Spotlight at 3 o'clock, and then we'll do Mean Text today at 3:45 because at 4 o'clock we turn you over to the Mariners pregame show. They get set to take on the Royals, game one of that series. It is Friday, which means it's a Snoqualmie Casino Football Friday on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. All right, so we'll definitely get into more Seahawks conversation coming up. But Mariners win, which is good. We talked about it yesterday, came on after the game. But the bad news is Julio Rodriguez. Now, I've not seen an official statement or anything in terms of him going to the IL, but it seems like that's in the offing. I was just looking at a tweet a few hours ago from Ryan Divish saying, talking about the coverage in Kansas City. Sounds like Julio Rodriguez is headed to the IL. So pretty sure that's going to happen. He's not in the lineup. The lineup is out for today's game. Marco Gonzalez pitching, but you've got J.P. Crawford leading off, followed by Haniger, Santana, France, Raleigh, Kelnick, Winker, Toro, Frazier. That's your lineup for today. So Julio is out, and you just hope it's minor, that they're going to err on the side of caution, make sure he gets right. You don't want this to be a lingering issue. But, man, we've been talking about a lineup that has been really struggling. Yesterday was great. But you look at what was going on before that. I don't know if they're fixed or what's going to go on, but that is a big element of your lineup to be without. You're already without Suarez. You got Cal Raleigh, who's playing a bit dinged up, as is Mitch Haniger and Ty France. So, yeah, the hits keep on coming in the wrong direction.
Well, and it's not just the great production of Julio Rodriguez. That's the emotional heart and soul of your team right now, with his megawatt personality, with his enthusiasm and energy.
With his what? What did you call him? Megawatt?
Yeah.
Megawatt personality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you not describe it as that?
As a megawatt?
That smile lights up the stadium. He sets the tone for that team. So the emotional lift that he brings to this team also, and what he did to carry them through the stretch in July before everyone else started to pick it up, that is a big loss. And I think we've talked about who needs to step up now for this Mariners team. Yeah, you put it on the veterans. You put it on a guy like Haniger and Ty France, still pretty young, but we consider him a veteran because he has been such a stable part of this lineup for the last couple of seasons. So I think it's up to those guys to bring that pomp that Julio usually brings to the lineup.
That pomp. Look at you.
The little, I meant to say pop there, but I was going to go with pomp and circumstance.
Pomp, so. You just left off the circumstance.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he brings the pop and the pomp.
I want you guys to buckle up, because Lefko's set to dazzle you for 2 hours with his thesaurus here. He brought it with him. He's just going to unveil all kinds of great words for you today. It's going to be great.
Dave's not here to write him down, though.
He's not. He's not here to write him down. He does have a list brewing somewhere. But yeah, it's such a bummer, because this is the home stretch. Just a precious few games left, and Julio's had such a great season. Should be the rookie of the year to me, without question. And you need him. I mean, it's on top of that. It's weird to be in a position where at the beginning of the year you're looking at him going, all right, he's a rookie. It's probably going to be a lot of hot and cold. You know, we saw it with Kelnick. He went up and he went down. Now he's back up. Had a great game yesterday. But he's been up and down multiple times. It's just what you see with rookies. And you've got two rookies that have been outstanding. Obviously Julio, who should be the rookie of the year. But George Kirby's been brilliant. I know he threw up a dud his first one of the season. First time. It's the first time he's walked more than one hitter in a game. I'm just blown away by that.
I still think, so we're going to talk to Robbie Ray coming up at 3, and I kind of asked him about this, but I still think that long wait might have thrown Kirby off a little bit. You know, there's the downside and the good of scoring 3 runs, and you're the visiting team, and the pitcher who's so finely tuned to coming out there has to wait a bit.
So you're calling Robbie Ray a liar. That's cool.
No.
That's
you heard Robbie.
No, I think we got
you'll
it.
Hear him.
I think we got
he
it.
Said for him, as a veteran, it doesn't affect. But George Kirby, a guy in his first season, hasn't had a lot of situations where he's had to sit there and wait an unexpected longer amount of time while the home team gives up a lot of runs in that first inning. So that helped the Mariners. I don't know if it threw George Kirby off or not, but yeah, it's uncharacteristic. I hope, because then the other concern is, well, maybe it is fatigue. Maybe he is hitting that wall, because we've talked so much about the innings limit and how George Kirby has blown past everything he's done in professional season. So for Kirby to get to this point, there was always that monitoring. As John Morosi told us yesterday, maybe to monitor where he is innings-wise, because he's never pitched this many innings in a professional season. So the alternative is, yeah, he sat around for too long, got a little cold, and that's what led to that blip.
Or the other aspect is, hey, every single pitcher you see out there has a night. They have a night. They throw up a dud. It happens. He's a rookie. You know, it could be all of those things. It could be that he sat there too long. Could be that the innings are starting to get to him. Or it could be, hey, he finally had his turn to have a rough outing. You know, because he just really hasn't had that. He's had brilliant outings. He's had others that aren't quite as good. But in terms of just where he's walking guy again, that's the first time all year that he's walked more than one hitter in a game. So, you know, I'm certainly not in panic. You walk three in that game. I'm not going to panic about this and think, oh boy, he's hit the wall physically. He's not that guy anymore. Or maybe they'll monitor him. I don't know. But it just, I just chalked it up to, hey, we've seen it from Robbie. We've seen it from Luis. We just saw it from Luis against the A's. You know, took one inning. He was rolling. All of a sudden it just falls apart. Can't get out of it. It's just the nature of being a pitcher. So he's just been so good. He's been so good. But as far as Julio goes, for those who may have missed it, here's what Scott Service said about his injury after the game.
Julio, concerning again. It's the same area in the low back. And, you know, we're going to he'll get a workup tomorrow when we get to Kansas City to get an MRI and pictures of that. But, you know, he felt great before the game. He's running around. We see him lead off the game, first pitch of the double, scores shortly after that. You know, as he was running out to take his position in the second inning, he just felt it kind of grab on him. He said something to Haniger in the outfield, and at that point, he's like, Hanny was watching him. He's like, this guy isn't right. So, you know, we went out and talked to Julio, and they don't do anything stupid out there to make it worse. But, you know, I'm concerned about it. Certainly, he's so huge to our team. But more importantly, we need Julio healthy. And we'll get some pictures tomorrow. I'll have a better idea when we get over to Kansas City.
Getting the pictures done. Getting the MRI done. And that it's interesting that it happened there is, you know, he had the hit, first pitch, double, everything's fine. Goes back to the dugout after the half inning's over, jogs out to center field. All of a sudden it's like, oh, man, grabs on him. And he's got, and I've dealt with back issues for a long time. I know when it's firing, you're incapacitated.
Yeah, it grabs on you, like he said.
It walking can be a challenge. Getting in and out of a car. I've done a pull-up out of my car just to get out of the seat. I mean, it's back issues are no joke, especially for somebody doing what he's doing and with his swing. He's got such a violent swing. He swings so hard. So it's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully it's just, hey, we're just going to let it calm down. It's a muscle spasm. Maybe they'll put him on the IL and just to make sure, err on the side of caution, because you desperately need him for the postseason. You have to have him.
I think so. I can't get it out of my head hearing Scott Service say they had to wait to get an MRI in Kansas City. And the back of my head thinks, well, that's because they don't have a working MRI machine in Oakland.
That's probably right.
As Dave likes to bring up, the quality of facility has not changed since he played there back in the 80s. So, and 90s, I guess. But maybe they didn't have the facilities and the MRI capacity to treat Julio. It's
They say pictures in Oakland, they're talking about Polaroid pictures.
No,
that's what they do.
I know. I want to make a joke about Oakland, right?
Yeah.
They had to develop it. They had to pose. What is it? Those old paintings where you had to sit still for about an hour. That's how they had to look at Julio's back.
I thought it was going to be the guy that gets under the tarp with the flash, the bulb explodes, the old school.
Yeah. That's the quality of facility that Oakland is working with.
What
there.
What a dump.
I don't know.
What a sad building.
It's got to be tough to play there. I think we saw that. That the Mariners lost two games twice in the second half of the season because there was just no one in the building.
Is that why they lost?
I don't know.
Had there been a huge crowd, they would have won.
Well, we've seen this team. They play up to their competition. You know, they were very good against the Braves in one of the biggest series of the year. They were great against the Mets. And then they go and struggle in Oakland. They struggle against a bad Anaheim team. So, I don't know. I might have played into it a little bit. But, yeah, with Julio, I'll say here real quickly, not great news. But if you can rest him up, there's still enough baseball left. He can make an impact. I mean, 13 games does not feel like a lot. But even just taking 3 to 4 games off, that's a lot of baseball still left to be played.
Yeah, and the good news is Kelnick is back up, and it's not because I think all of a sudden he's cured at the plate. He had a great day yesterday, and hopefully that continues. But we talked about this before. Even when he was struggling here before he got sent down, he was playing a really, really good defensive right field. He is a good defensive player. So as long as he's not taking his struggles at the plate out and into the field, that is a nice option to have out there. And when Julio's healthy, I would rather see him in the field every day Kelnick in the field every day not hitting versus Winker in the field every day not hitting and not playing defense. So good that he's able to come up and have an impact at the plate. And even if that doesn't continue, he's just a much better defensive option. One programming note I want to throw your way. With the Seahawks taking on the Falcons this Sunday on 710, you can catch the Mariners-Royals game in its entirety on 770. So mark that down if you're looking to listen to the Mariners game this Sunday on the radio. That one will be on 770 KTTH. Mariners pregame coverage starts at 9 a.m. with the Trident Talk. First pitch at 11 a.m. exclusively on 770 KTTH. That's this Sunday. All right, time to take two.
Right, the latest Seahawks injury report is out, and Shelby Harris has been ruled out for Sunday. Justin Coleman is also listed as doubtful with a calf injury, and safety Quandre Diggs is listed as questionable.
Yikes, that's not great because the defense, even with those guys, has had its issues, and now you're going up against a team that's winless, but you look at the point, they've scored twice as many points as the Seahawks have. They've lost by a combined 5 points. So this is a team that's been competitive. They haven't won, but they're putting up points, and they've been competitive. So your defense with these guys struggling, if you're without all three perhaps, it's going to be a rough go.
Yeah, another big task for our guy, Kobe Bryant, who played the majority of the snaps against the 49ers at the nickel spot. So it looks like he'll be called upon in a big duty. And then Quandre Diggs, it's listed as a knee. Questionable is what it is. I'm sure he will play through that. But certainly always concerning when you see guys pop up on the injury report. But take it for what it is in the NFL, right? Guys are on it. Tom Brady was always on the injury report in his career in New England. And nothing
Belichick
was ever wrong.
Being a dork.
Mariners' wild card watch continues with an important series in Tampa. The Rays won the first of a four-game series against the Blue Jays last night, and it's a 4-10 first pitch tonight in Game 2. Toronto is 2 games up on the Mariners for the top spot, while the Rays have a half-game lead over the M's for the second spot.
Yeah, so we're in this odd position of rooting for other teams, even though the Mariners can still just handle their own business, win their games, but you still watch and see, and talking to Morosi yesterday, you want the Rays to beat Toronto. Could have used some help from Houston. Where are you guys? Huh?
How about Verlander getting out-dueled?
Why does everything stink with Houston? Why does everything just become negative with that team? When you finally need them, they could help you out in some indirect way. They fail.
They did sweep the Rays. I guess we don't have to give them credit. But yeah, no. Now they're letting everyone down by not beating the Orioles. They have 4 games left against
the Orioles.
They better not lose any more to the Orioles.
Jeez.
I'll tell you that. But this is where, this is really the weekend and the stretch where the Mariners can make some moves upward in the standings. Because you have these two teams head-to-head. So Tampa has brought Toronto a little bit closer back to the Mariners, who have the tiebreaker over the Blue Jays. And then, all right, once they win one more, you almost want Toronto to win a couple to drop Tampa below Seattle. And then the Rays go on and play a couple tough teams. They play Boston. The Blue Jays go on and play New York right after this. So these teams, the AL East, we've talked for weeks now how they're going to beat up on each other. They will beat up on each other. The Mariners are there. They need to seize the opportunity.
Yeah, now if Houston could, get to it and beat up on the Orioles, that'd be really, really special. All right, Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/cyberknife prostate. Coming up, Seahawks rookie Ken Walker made his debut last week. He's going to join us to talk about it. Coming up next, it's Wyman and Bob with Lefko in for Wyman today. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It is time, everybody, here with Wyman and Bob. Time for our player spotlight. A chance to speak to one of the younger Seahawks on this roster. Great to see him out in the field doing his thing, and hopefully we'll see a lot more of it. He's with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, talking about running back Ken Walker III. Ken, how are you, man?
I'm great. How about you?
Doing great. I got to clarify. I've got to ask you the most important question right out of the gate. Do you prefer Ken or Kenneth?
I go by Ken, but Kenneth and Ken is fine with me. I just don't really like being called Kenny.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll make sure we don't mention that, but somebody told me, yeah, he likes Ken, but I see everywhere your name is printed, it's Kenneth Walker III. So we just want to make sure we're going by what you want. Hey, how How was it for you? I mean, I know the result wasn't what anybody wanted, but just for you to get out there as a rookie, unfortunately dealing with an injury out of the gates, how did it feel just to get out there and play in your first NFL game?
Yeah, I could just say it's a blessing, you know, when you growing up and watching guys on TV or watching the highlights and then, you know, being in this position and actually being on the field and playing in an NFL game, it's just a blessing.
How did you feel physically? I mean, did you feel like I can do everything, or were you a little athletes often talk to us about their injuries and say that the hardest part isn't the physical, it's the mental. It's trusting that I can plant and cut and do the things I could do before. Were you dealing with any of that?
Not when I got to the game. You know, that's what I was working on when I was injured. You know, the strength staff and trainers took great care of me, and, you know, I worked on everything that I need to work on before I got to the field. So when I got to the field, I was real confident in myself.
That's kind of an odd injury, right? Was that? I mean, when it happened, did you have any idea what was going on, or was that was pretty unique, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was different. I had no clue. It happened out of nowhere, so it was so random. So I went in and talked to the training staff, and they showed me the doctor, and he seen what was wrong, and that's when I found out I had a hernia.
Wow. So just in that time, recovery time, you're watching your team out there, preseason's going on, first game of the season, was it hard not to be frustrated, or was it what was your mood like?
Yeah, you know, I, of course I want to be out there with my team, but I wanted to help them any way I could. So, you know, that first game, week one, I was just on the sideline and I was cheering for everybody and just bringing the energy.
Just as far as your time out there this past week, did it sort of live up to what you had pictured in your mind? Because we often talk to rookies and they talk about the biggest difference being the speed of every player out there. And they're like the best player they ever faced in college, but there's 11 of them on that side of the ball. Is that how it felt for you?
Everybody out there is fast and smart, you know, so like it is kind of like that, and the speed of the game is a little faster too, but you know, preparation, you know, preparing, like when I go against my defense here, you know, they help me get ready for that. But I would say the biggest difference is speed.
As far as you growing up, I mean, obviously you were a star at Michigan State, you got all the accolades and everything, but just as a young kid growing up, did you always play running back? Did you want to be a quarterback or another position? And who were you looking up to?
I watched a lot of highlights, you know, I watched a lot of highlights on a lot of different running backs, but I also, you know, growing up, I played different positions, you know, I played wide receiver, I played on defense, linebacker, safety, you know, I played a lot of different positions, but in high school, I was mainly a wide receiver for the most part, so, you know, I'm familiar with a lot of different positions.
So did you have a favorite player or team growing up?
Honestly, I never really watched sports growing up, so I used to always watch the highlights of, like, Adrian Peterson or different type of running backs like that. I would say at that time, as a young kid, I believe Adrian Peterson was my favorite running back.
Wow, that's great. That's great. So that's cool that you played on the defensive side. I would imagine it's, you know, the thought in the back of your mind from time to time is, you know, I'd like to be the guy delivering the hit as opposed to taking the hit.
Yeah, exactly. But also, like, with running back, I feel like you could do both, you know. You could also deliver the hit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very true, very true. Hey, what's it been like just, you know, working with Pete Carroll, working with Rashad Penny and Travis Homer and DJ Dallas and everybody? It doesn't seem like hazing rookies is a thing anymore, that everybody's very welcoming and trying to be supportive. Is that how you've kind of found it?
Yeah, it's been they've been very supportive, and I got a great group of guys in the running back room. You know, they're real helpful with the plays or just anything off the field. They're always willing to help me.
Have you had to do any rookie hazing? Like, do you have to bring donuts or carry pads or anything like that?
No, I have not.
I think you're getting off light, Ken. I feel like you guys at least carry pads or bring donuts at some point.
Yeah, I guess I'm getting off light.
Hey, so just for listeners that aren't quite as familiar with you, what do you do off the field? Are you a video game guy? Do you binge watch TV shows? What do you like to do?
I like to play the game a lot. You know, if I'm not doing football and nothing like that, I'd rather like sit around and play the game. You know, I like Call of Duty or something like that. But yeah, I'm a gamer.
So are you on headsets talking to people around the country, around the world?
Well, I wear headsets just to listen. I don't really do too much talking on the game.
You don't get into the smack talk?
Nah, I just listen.
Oh, man. Well, so, hey, just as far as do you got pets or anything? If you move up with a girlfriend or anything like that, or are you just hanging with the guys?
Oh, did you ask if right now, do I have pets and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Oh, no, not right now. Right now I'm just chilling. I'm trying to get acclimated with everything here, but, you know, I believe in probably a year or so I'll have me a pet. I already got my favorite dog is a pit bull, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to get one soon.
Okay, nice. Hey, as far as Seattle goes, had you been here before?
Nah, I've never been West Coast until I got drafted.
Okay, so what's your impression? I mean, right now the weather's great and everything. It can get a little rainy, Ken. I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
It can get a little gray, but so far, what's your impression of Seattle, just the city, walking around and everything?
Yeah, I love it. You know, it's much different from where I'm originally from. So, you know, the mountains is something that really, like, is different for me, and being by the water. So it's a real pretty area.
Now, are you a seafood guy?
I do like seafood, but I haven't really got I don't know where to go for seafood here, so I guess I got to look around.
Yeah, well, I don't think it'd be hard to find a place. Now, I'm the one person in Washington that doesn't like seafood, but everybody around me tells me this is the Mecca. You want the best seafood in the world, this is where it's at. So I think there's a million places out there for you.
Oh, for sure, then. That sounds good.
Well, Ken, listen, it's good to catch up with you, man. I really enjoyed, you know, seeing you get out there on the field this past week, and can't wait to see more of you out there. And we wish you nothing but the best, and look forward to talking to you again.
For sure. I appreciate you for having me.
There you go. There's Ken Walker. Just don't call him Kenny. He's good with Kenneth or Ken. Now, those are important things to clear up. I'm certain we'll get seafood recommendations flying through. We got a million places for oxtail.
Yeah.
And we had Ryan Neal on talking about that. So, seafood.
We're providing a public service, these players. Us and the listeners. They text in, we give them the recommendations, and we help them out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's our listeners know all. You know, you got a question? They've got answers. Maybe they're not right answers, but they've got answers, by God. And they've got some mean texts that have already been rolling through. Some good ones.
Yeah.
So, keep those coming. We'll do mean texts at 3:45 today. At 4 o'clock, we turn you over to the Mariners pregame show. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But you've got time to get creative with your mean text, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. So send those in there. And if you missed any of our conversation with Ken Walker or anything from our shows, make sure you check out the podcast page at seattlesports.com. Just click the podcast tab, scroll down to our picture, click on that. And then what do they do next?
They subscribe.
That's right. Subscribe.
And then go find a good seafood place for Ken Walker.
For Ken Walker. And then go find oxtails for Ryan Neal. And then we'll just take orders from the entire Seahawks roster and see what they're looking for. And we'll just put it on our listeners. And they'll come up with all of it. All right, coming up, we couldn't head into the weekend without airing our grievances. What's Bugging Bob? Comes your way next with Wyman and Bob. Lefko in for Wyman. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
What's Bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's Bugging Bob.
It's definitely not traffic. I'm telling you, that West Seattle Bridge is a dream come true.
Can't use that anymore.
Who would have thought it would just... Oh, my goodness, the amount of stress that I don't experience these mornings. It's amazing. By the way, this hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. I've got one, but it sounds like Thumb's got a whole bunch. He was just letting them fly during the break there. So I'll just try to get out of the way here in a moment. But this one's more of a minor one, and I get it why service would do this. You're trying to get the guy going. He was your big offseason acquisition. He was the core of your deal with the Reds. But I feel like I've seen enough of Jesse Winker. I don't need to see him in the lineup. I understand if he can get going, he's got a track record. He hit 24 home runs last year, hit over 300. He hasn't been anything close to that guy this year. So, yeah, do you want to just bench him for the rest of the regular season and get nothing out of him? No, I understand. But just seeing his name in the lineup is starting to annoy me. And now that I say it, he may get hot. Maybe that'll be the key. I'll be annoyed by his presence, and he will then hit three home runs and make me look terrible. And I will take it. I will take three home runs and I will wear it with pride, my complaints about him. But he's in the lineup as a DH tonight, which I'm just glad he's not out in the field. But they've got Frazier out in left field. They've got him as the DH, and then playing second base is Toro, with France playing third base again and Santana at first. I'd much rather see, I know Dylan Moore is barely hitting over 200 and Sam Haggerty has cooled off a bit. I'd rather see either one of those guys. I just have a little bit more confidence, certainly in the field with those guys, and Winker's not in the field tonight. But even at the plate, I just feel like Jesse's just, he's struggling, man. He's pressing. He's just, things aren't right. Jerry's talked about it. Everybody's talked about it. I just, something about reading the line, I'm looking at it going, okay, Crawford, Haniger, Santana, France, Raleigh, Kelnick, Winker. And it just was like, come on, man. Just give me somebody who, just put Haggerty in there.
Do you think it's a matchup thing, though? Brady Singer's right-handed pitcher.
Haggerty's a switch hitter.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe you get the lefty bat in there for Winker to let him get the at-bats against a right-handed pitcher.
I get from services point of view, like, yeah, you want to get this guy going because he's shown he can do it in this league. He's got it. He's done it. He hasn't done it this year. Maybe you get him hot. He could be a huge piece of this lineup if all of a sudden he could just find a rhythm up there. So I understand, you know, the desire to get that going. But it just, as a fan and watching what he hasn't been for this team this year, when I see his name in there, I'm going, just give me Haggerty's a switch hitter. So it doesn't matter whether you're going up against a righty or lefty. Give me that guy. Give me Dylan Moore if you're going up against a lefty, whatever it is. But yeah, so Winker's in the lineup, and that's what's got me today. Now, you're sort of torn between people's understanding of how many games back a team is, or what you call some of the most touristy recommendations for seafood restaurants for Ken Walker. We had our texters coming to the rescue once again, sending in all kinds of seafood recommendations for Ken. And like one of the first ones I read, you went, oh man, that's so touristy. Which one was it? Elliot's?
Oh no, I mean, you get Elliot's and Ivers, which are good. I mean, they're fine,
yeah,
but those are also,
come on, don't
those are touristy, right?
Does they're that mean
right
the there. Food's not good though?
I have no idea. I haven't eaten there yet.
I don't eat seafood, so I have to
seafood.
Defer. I have to defer.
And I will get there eventually.
What if it's awesome food and it happens to be touristy?
So I think any place that has seafood is good. I would just say if you're throwing out recommendations, you know, like don't you need a spot, like a go-to, not one that's where you're going to be bothered by tourists. And anything that's right down there on the water that all these hordes of people walk by, you're just going to get bothered by them. That's not a knock on the quality of the restaurant. It's just maybe recommend something else.
Thumb would like you to be more creative with your restaurant recommendations.
Not to be too seafood elitist here.
The first thing I was just reading during the break, I was like, oh, this person says Elliot's. He's like, oh man, that's so touristy. Come on, I'm like, well, all right. Well, what if the food is good? Then it's good. And again, I don't eat seafood, so I'm deferring to the texters and to you. And if they're saying the food is good there, it shouldn't matter whether it's popular or
here's
it's
what
a
I'll
hidden
say.
Gem.
We did get another text about Elliot's, and there's a legitimate reason from this texter, 206, says, our youngest son works there Friday and Saturday, 12 to 8. Asked for Mario's table. Ken should introduce himself. So, okay, that's a good reason. Let's have Ken Walker go there one day. I think, you know, Saturdays are a little tough during the season, but especially, well, Fridays too, but out of the season, we'll pass along the note and say, go to Elliott's and ask for Mario.
The 425 said the food is good.
At Elliott's or at
Elliott's?
Yeah. Well, no, like this, like Salt and Iron in Edmonds or Ray's Boathouse in Ballard or Wallace and the Carpenter in Ballard. I can name a ton more in Ballard, but yeah, we'll go from there. So maybe I have a little Ballard elitism showing.
Is that what it is? anything? Now, what was the other one? The understanding
Ivers.
Of games back.
Oh, I thought you meant the rest.
No, Ivers, your other complaint.
So, all right. Do I have time now? I barely have time. So, everyone likes to refer to how many games back a team is right now, because that's what you see, you default, and I especially have a grievance there with people who try to correct me on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
Because, I merely pointed out a couple days ago, like, hey, look, like, okay, so right now, in games back, the Orioles are listed as four behind the Mariners.
Right.
What does that matter? That's important because you want to know who's going to make the playoffs at the end of the year. I don't care what they are from tying the Mariners record. This needs to be all put in context. So the Orioles, it'll show you, and the problem is you're looking at any website, MLB.com, ESPN, any website that has records. Yes, the Orioles are listed as four games
they
back.
They have four more losses than the Mariners.
They have four more losses. Do we care when it turns to the context of making the playoffs? No, you care about what actually happens for this team to make the playoffs. So if the Orioles finish tied with the Mariners four games, That's okay, because the Mariners have the season tiebreaker. There are no one-game playoffs anymore. Whoever has the head-to-head advantage wins that spot. So a couple of days ago, it's become a moot point now because the White Sox have fallen off, but a couple of days ago, the Orioles were listed in front of Chicago. They were four games back. The White Sox were like five games back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is the White Sox have the tiebreaker over the Mariners.
Right.
So, yeah, people are saying, well, the Orioles are the team to worry about. The Orioles are the team to worry about. The White Sox were the more dangerous team there because in five games, had they tied the Mariners, the Mariners are out of the playoff.
Tiebreaker.
So you have to kind of subtract one game from that. Now, this is a rant that's built up since Tuesday, and it loses a little bit of its relevance because the White Sox have slumped greatly. So here's what I'll say. They are 6.5 games back listed, but it's a true five and a half.
Yeah.
Which in 13 games left, yeah, they're probably not going to catch the Mariners.
So this
but you need
stems
to be aware. I'm helping everyone out. You need to be aware
he's trying
of actual
to educate
context
you.
When it comes to how many games clear the Mariners are. That's what's important. How many games clear are they of these teams for making the playoffs?
So you're doing a public service.
Yes,
you're trying to educate
so.
Our audience.
Mm-hmm.
And this stems from somebody challenging you on Twitter. Did they call you a name?
They're just like, well, also, this comes from because I took a picture of the standings where it clearly says four and said the Orioles are technically five games back. And someone responded four.
So did you have
and I was like, no, they're not actually four because they don't have the tiebreaker over the Mariners.
So did the character limit allow you to fully explain
no.
your rationale?
I was direct, but I was polite.
Okay.
So
right.
Maybe people don't. So that's my grievance.
Bum's got a lot of problems with you people.
Salties on Alki. Yeah. Boom. See, I've heard of that.
You've heard of it? Is it touristy?
No,
touristy?
I don't know. I've heard it's a good place to go to.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This hour.
Chinooks on Inner Bay. See, these are great spots.
Okay.
It is amazing. It's on the
so
water,
it's just
but
the
off the beaten path.
Just the people that said Ivers and Elliott's. You got a problem with those folks.
Yeah, those are here. They'll be there. Go to other places first.
Thumb's got a lot of grievances with you people today. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. All right. Coming up, Mariners pitcher Robbie Ray is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the season, what's in front of him, how his season has gone in his mind. All of it coming your way next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.